You're listening to the NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network, part of Sports Illustrated, giving you daily NFL Draft, Dynasty, and Devy Fantasy Football podcasts.
Dynasty Draft Room Podcast presented by the Sports Illustrated NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network. I am your host, Ryan Sirfoss, joined by my co-host, Eric Adams. Eric, how you doing tonight?
I am good. The weather's getting great. The NFL draft's a mess. Let's get it on.
Dude, shorts, t-shirt weather's beautiful.
Amen. But, amen.
So tonight's show, we're going to go over Dynasty receiver rankings. We took a little bit of a break with free agency going on, so we're hopping back into the receiver rankings. And remember, guys, do you want to talk to us about our rankings? Do you want to drop your own rankings? We have an awesome Discord channel. Hop on in and come join the conversation. And while you're there, make sure to download our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and shoot us a five-star review. Keeps the show going, keeps the lights on. Really appreciate it, guys. And now we're going to hop into tonight's episode. Before we get into the rankings, we want to talk about the absurd trade we saw on Saturday night where the Dolphins traded their number three overall – the Dolphins traded three overall to get Miami's number 12 pick, a third round pick, and the next 2 years first as well. Eric, where are you at with this trade?
Love what Miami's doing by taking Madden franchise mode and putting it into the actual NFL. Tip of the cap. They're loading up, man. they're loading bullets in the chamber. So if they miss, it's not that big of a deal anymore. Like they have so many ones. I can't even wrap my head around that. So kudos to Miami. Great job there.
And 20 minutes later, this is while we're on Miami. So yep. There. They traded back up to number six to the Eagles, giving up the 2022 first round pick they got and number 123 overall. So now they're back to picking six. How you're talking about these more bullets for them.
Mm-hmm.
What are they thinking there? Like this is not Miami Dolphin ask. I love what they're doing. They have so many draft picks now.
Yep. I'd imagine whoever's the top offensive player on their board is going to be the pick at six, not including offensive line. Don't get me wrong. If Sewell somehow makes it there, I think he'll be in consideration. And they got to get a wide receiver or a tight end. If it's Pitts, Chase, Waddle, I really feel like it's got to be one of those guys. So,
Out of those guys, what fit do you like more? I think it's very specific pick is the best choice, but who do you have with them?
I would put Tua with Waddle again. I want Tua with Waddle. I think I said it last week, Waddle's my wide receiver one. I would love to see Waddle with Tua. I think that would really give Miami a good mesh of different players. They could go Pitts, but I think Gesicki's fine enough. If you got Waddle – then Parker and Preston Williams. I think that's a really good 1-2-3 punch for them. So, you can't go wrong. If it's Chase, if it's Devonta Smith, it don't matter. Just get to another weapon there. That's my preference.
Yeah, I agree with that. The Waddle thing makes a lot of sense. I want to see Chase there, though, just because they just got Will Fuller, who's a field stretcher, which, I mean, all that speed, you can't go wrong with.
Oh, my God, I completely forgot about Will Fuller.
We just talked about fantasy. It's still catching up. But I feel like Chase's skill set, being the well-rounded receiver he is, he can kind of go up and get a little bit better. I think that would mesh really well with Will Fuller, similar to what we saw in Houston back when D-Hop was there. Not D-Hop comparison.
Yeah.
Our obligatory say that's not a comparison thing. But I think he fits really nicely in that big body receiver with him.
Yeah, now that I remembered Will Fuller's there, I scratched that. Jamar Chase. Take Jamar Chase.
Will Fuller just kind of threw everything off. That's a really, really nice weapons for Tua right now if they end up pulling that off.
Yep.
With him, Fuller, Gesicki, that means he has the best opportunity to succeed because surrounding the quarterback obviously helps. Not referring to any organizations there. Eagles, with the Eagles trading down and getting the extra pick, is there anything you like specifically for the Eagles where they're drafting?
I mean, I would put it in play that they could still take a wide receiver there. With how injured their O-line was, I would like to kind of see them go O-line because that really did just absolutely ruin their season last year. But, you know, they still need help at wide receiver, even with taking Rager last year. I'd imagine one of Waddle, Smith, Chase is there at 12. I think it's in the realm of possibilities. If Pitts is there, I wouldn't be opposed. I don't think he'll make it there, but they're in play for an offensive playmaker. I wouldn't put it past him.
Their defense is real bad too, though. Like, I kept thinking corner
that
for
too.
Them.
That too. If they want to take one of those corners, absolutely, that's in the range.
Yeah, and then obviously the biggest player in this one is going to be the most guaranteed fantasy implications. 49ers moving to 3. They're moving somebody into a really good situation with Brandon Ayuk, Deebo Samuels, George Kittle, that run offense. Who are this rookie quarterback's in? Might be coming into the best fantasy situation in general. It's just, who do you think it's going to be?
If it's – see, here's the thing. If you read the tea leaves around people who are actually in the NFL, not all these people who want to believe stuff on Twitter, everyone in the NFL seems to think it's either Jones or Lance and not Fields. So I know we all had the lovely fun of having Alabama Pro Day and Ohio State Pro Day on the same day today. It really sounds like it's either going to be Trey Lance or Mac Jones. And let me tell you, I know a lot of people are crapping on the whole – I don't really believe that Jimmy G in there one more year. That's bull crap thing. I know people are crapping on that. Sitting Trey Lance for a year behind Jimmy G and then cutting Jimmy G makes a lot of sense. I'm just saying, let's not throw that out of the realm of possibilities. I think that actually does make sense.
It does. I'll say, I agree with that. Out of any of the quarterbacks getting drafted, he might be the easiest one to justify sitting. He's from a small school, he's a little bit raw, he's never played this kind of competition. You can justify that to a fan base, either a good enough team or you're not really forced to it. If you have Justin Fields on your team, who's a superstar at Ohio State, who slayed Clemson single-handedly, in any down game, you have a ton of temptation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even with Mac Jones. But, like, Trey Lance makes a lot of sense.
If Mac Jones is the pick, then all hell's gonna break loose, and the back half of the draft's gonna be crazy. You lose, like, I don't get me wrong. I think Mac Jones would be a nice, he'll be set up really nicely for fantasy, like you said. But if Mac Jones is the pick, then all of a sudden you lose a really good landing spot for Fields or Lance. I mean,
if Mac Jones is the pick, I don't know how much it affects my rankings. I don't believe as much in the upside, but I think that's his best floor possibility.
Yeah.
Like, he could be, I tweeted out today, he could be a lifelong QB2 in fantasy a la Andy Dalton.
Yeah.
Like, he could be up to that level, which is not a disrespectful thing, but he could be there in that situation. So if he's going to succeed, that's good for him. I'm still not moving him up my quarterback list for fantasy unless someone's in a dog shit situation.
Yeah, it does. Like, yeah, I agree. It doesn't really change much for me and how I look at Mac Jones. Like, even though it's great, there's great weaponry around him, and he's getting to play with Kyle Shanahan. I still believe what I believe about Mac Jones. One last thing on this, and this is the rant I told you I want to go on. I'm sorry. Here it comes. The whole smokescreen crap, people. Like, they're like you saying, like, oh, they're just saying they'll take Mac Jones because they want to create smoke. People, there's no smoke screen to make. You know number one pick. It's Trevor Lawrence. You know number two pick. It's Zach Wilson. They have the pick. They basically have the number one pick, taking those two players off the board. What in the hell do they have to gain to making a smokescreen right now? Give me a good reason. Because there is none. That's the weirdest thing I've seen on Twitter. I'm sorry. Like,
they're not trading. Or it's like, yeah, it'd be if you're trading that pick. Or if one of the teams ahead of you are trading back.
Yeah. I see no reason to make a smokescreen out of this. Kyle Shanahan even came out and said it. He's like, when you're number three and you kind of know who the first two picks are, yeah, there's not really much to hide. Like, yeah, no crap, guy. Like, people, they're not trying to fool you here. They're like, I'm telling you right now, by the draft, it will be leaked who they will take. And right now it is leaning towards Jones, but that will be more set in stone as we get towards the draft. You'll know who they're taking by the draft. We'll know who the Jets are taking concrete. I think the Jets already know. I think everybody pretty much knows it's 99% Zach Wilson. But
yeah,
we're going to know. We're going to know by the draft who the pick is. There's no smokescreen to be made here. I saw everyone going off about that. It's just because with the whole, Mac Jones thing, everyone's losing their minds about that. But like, there's no smokescreen to be made. It's that you don't understand how smokescreens work if you're thinking there's a smokescreen there.
It's the type of year where everything you hear is a lie. You want to believe that the earlier you are, I feel like the more you can believe teams, and the closer you get, the more the lie comes.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything to gain about lying for this.
No, there's really not. They're going to take who they're going to take. And
Atlanta, there's something to gain. Atlanta, like saying, oh, we love all these quarterbacks, even though Matt Ryan has a $40+ million dead cap hit next year. Yeah, that's a smokescreen. That's trying to be like, hey, give a ransom, please.
Yeah, so, and they're going to get one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes, I think we're both in agreement. We're willing to bet Atlanta doesn't stay in that fourth spot.
I wouldn't be surprised if they get as much as Miami did, if not more. Just because they're holding steady and waiting for the draft, especially if Mac Jones goes.
If it's Mac Jones, I think they're going to get a ransom. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, awesome. So, other thing we want to have pop and do before our rankings is our prospect of the week, and that is Memphis running back Kenny Gainwell. Eric, what's your feelings on Gainwell?
I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan. Second year in a row that I love a Memphis running back. He's just like, I don't like the comparisons, but I can't stop thinking about it. He's James White. He's James White's twin. I swear on my life. He's a very polished receiving back. I wanted to go as far and say he's the best receiving back in the draft. That's not true. Still not Najee Harris, but he's like, he's up there with Harris and Etienne. Like, he's running comebacks and out routes. Like, this kid's a good receiver. On top of that, he's a pretty good running back as well. I mean, he's got some wiggle in open space. He also is very good at blitz pickup. I saw him this is one of my favorite plays when watching tape this whole offseason. He put Mike Parsons on his ass. Like, it was a big boom. You saw that one? Dude, that was one of my favorite plays. That's one of my favorite plays I've watched all offseason. He's pretty darn good in that area of his game already. He ran a 4.42 on his 40. He's over 200 pounds for the BMI guys.
He's a 201, right?
Yeah.
I think he's what you want on receiving back. There's so many times now in the draft season and fantasy, you see a small running back, you automatically think they're receiving back, and they kind of fade out. These guys are like 180 pounds, even 190 pounds. Shorter dudes like, but he's coming in built like a prototypical back. We were talking to John Lobb. He said, as long as he's over 200 pounds, he's excited about it. And I agree. He's coming big enough where he can hold his own weight. He could get 50% of the carries, but you don't even need him to get that. Dude caught 51 balls last year on Memphis' offense to go with 231 rushing attempts. So he's handled a huge workload. He's crazy efficient in that offense. He has another fan zone. He's a really good piece. I think I want to see him. I think he's going to be paired with somebody else, but I don't think that should really scare your fantasy value for him.
Nope, not at all. I expect him to go on day two. And he's definitely on my list to watch for guys who I want to see where he lands. Because if he lands in a really good situation, he's going to skyrocket up my rookie drafts. Because he can step in and play day one, 100%.
I feel like I've been saying the team all offseason, but like Arizona would be awesome for him.
Arizona would be good. Yeah, 100%. I'd be down for him and Chase Edmonds in Arizona. Absolutely.
They could split. Edmonds is just good enough where he could give him a breather, and then we still have Gainwell get majority of the carries.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'd want to see him in a Devontae Freeman type workload from a few years back.
I'd sign up for that.
Like, that's the kind of usage I like for him.
How about Atlanta? You just said it. That'd work.
Yeah, Atlanta would be perfect. They need a running back. They have a foursome of just dudes there.
I expect Atlanta to be getting a bounty worth of picks on night one, so that should come in handy. Keep that in mind.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing him on day two at all to them, and that would put him. That could get him to running back three.
Yeah. Oh yeah. If he goes in a good spot and Javonte Williams ends up in a spot that we don't care about, yeah, I would. I would definitely put him run back three.
I don't think he could pass the other two for me, but I can see him definitely jump into that.
Yep.
Like, I have him a little below Javonte, but he's close.
I'd agree with that. Yes, I agree.
Perfect. So, quarterbacks, running backs – 4 weeks ago now, we had to take a break with all the free agency going crazy. So we're going to hop into it. We had a lot to go with the trade. So we're just going to get through the first two tiers tonight. And next week, we're going to do the last couple tiers of tight ends kind of mixed together. So just a free warning for that. So I'm going to go through my tier one, guys, to start. I'm just going to read through them in order. Let's go who stands out first. Number one, I got Devontae Adams. 2, Tyreek Hill. 3, Justin Jefferson. 4, Stephon Diggs. 5, DK Metcalf. Hopkins at 6, AJ Brown 7, CD Lamb 8. That's my top tier guys, which is a lot bigger than my top tier running backs was on him last time. So who stands out? What do you think with this grouping, guys?
The first two that jump out, since we're talking dynasty here, obviously, is Justin Jefferson at 3 and CD Lamb at 8. They're going to be tied at the hip for their entire career, as long as we're talking fantasy here. I don't disagree with you. I love Justin Jefferson at 3. I think CeeDee Lamb has a chance to jump a lot of these guys, especially with Dak being healthy the whole year and playing a full 16. I can't wait to watch them, because right now, depending on how close they're going together or where they're going in startups – we should have had the ADP up. Should have had the ADP up. Not ready for that.
Yeah, we slipped. ADP is dropped on the Draft Bible. Make sure to check it out. I'm one of the rankers. You can see mine against 4 or 5 other guys. It's awesome. Check out our tools. I'll post it in the comments here. But yeah, these two are going to be joining forever. Get used to hearing the arguments on who's a better receiver, CeeDee Lamb or Justin Jefferson. You're going to have about a decade of it.
Yep.
And just pick a side and stay fair.
And you can't go wrong, by the way. They're both so damn good. They're both so damn good.
I could eventually see them being the top two guys on here in a year or two. I'd love to put Jefferson higher, but Devontae Adams missed time last year, came back, and still just destroyed fantasy. With that situation in Green Bay, he's 3 more years of just ton of volume. And you can't, with the great quarterback, you can't go away from him. Devontae Adams is as consistent a Dre's receiver as you get right now. I think I'm as comfortable with him as my top guy in once it comes to redraft as any of the running backs, just because how consistent his play is.
I have a hypothetical for you.
Uh-huh.
This is Rodgers' last year. Jordan Love to start it next year. Does Devontae fall from 1?
Possibly. It's going to be tough. I'm going to have to hear some camp news, and it's going to be a lot of hearsay with that. But if I'm Jordan Love with that receiving core and Davante Adams. I'm going to force ball a little bit. And okay. some hero ball may lead to some more passing opportunities, which could lead to more Davante Adams. So bright side of that. I don't love it, though, compared to Aaron Rodgers. And I don't think adding another receiver is going to hurt him either. I feel like I'm high for I feel like I see Tyreek Hill all over the place for receivers. I have it too. He's consistent enough with his targets to give you a nice floor, but his ceilings, there's no ceiling
for him. There's just a sky above him.
his skill set is paired with the best quarterback in the league for what he's good at. They're a match made in heaven.
And a guy like Kelce to eat underneath him, so it's always going to be giving defenses problems the moment they come up. You just have Tyreek take the top off. Yeah, it's a perfect nightmare for opposing defensive coordinators. I'm with you. I like Tyreek. Honestly, I kind of agree with your top. I agree with your top four. I don't know if I'd have Metcalf at five. I don't know where I'd have him. He's not going to drop far, but the top four is literally what I would have. It's pretty much how I'd rank it. So
yeah, with things at four. Dude, Metcalf's hard for me. I just drafted. I have a startup going right now, Matt Hex. We're doing a 53-man roster startup. And I ended up getting DK Metcalf as the 10th receiver off the board.
The 10th?
The 10th receiver off the board, which felt like stealing.
Yeah, see, that's a little too far of a drop for me. I would only drop him maybe like one or two spots from where you have him.
Yeah, I was very shocked by it. Yeah. If you wanted to put D-Hop above him, great. A.J. Brown was actually the first receiver who went in that draft. If you want to move him up, great. But I love that he's attached to Russell Wilson because I don't think Russell Wilson's going anywhere. And that kind of locked him in there. His game-to-game consistency is my only downside.
Yeah.
His targets don't always match.
And especially playing the Rams two times a year, you got a guy like Jalen Ramsey over there. He does not do well against Ramsey.
No. But you'll see. I think CeeDee Lamb can jump all the way into the top four after the season. Even top three. He has an easiest path to jump these guys because of that offense and Dak.
I'll say this right now. In a startup right now, I know you got A.J. Brown 7, CeeDee Lamb 8. I would take Lamb over A.J. Brown, and I love A.J. Brown.
But honestly, I would take Lamb. I'd like to.
I'd rather really have Dak.
I would too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even with Amari Cooper with him, it's crazy.
I love Amari, but Lamb's going to take over this year. That's Lamb's offense. We get going here.
And I'm still high on Cooper, which you'll see very soon. Anyone else in that first tier? Diggs just stuck in there this season. The most overlooked guy in fantasy, and it's no longer. Everybody knows that Diggs is a superstar now.
Yeah.
Just took longer than it should have.
Absolutely. We didn't even say a word about DeAndre Hopkins, but what is there to say about DeAndre Hopkins?
D-Hop's really good. He's a good young quarterback.
Yes.
He can finish one overall points wise, wouldn't bat an eye at it. Like, it's D-Hop.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah, no, I like that top eight. I like that tier one. All right. I agree with it.
Surprisingly, my tier two is same amount of two players. So we got DJ Moore at 9, Michael Thomas 10, Calvin Ridley, Terry McLaurin, Amari Cooper, Chris Godwin, Keenan Allen, Allen Robinson. So, if you have Warren Cooper in there, who we just talked about, CeeDee Lamb, but the one guy I want to talk about, and he was really hard for me to figure out, was Michael Thomas. Like, what in the world are we doing with him now? Is he dead because we have Taysom Hill or Jameis or who the hell ever throwing the ball? Or do we trust the Slam Boy is that good?
See, that's the thing. If it's Jameis, I mean, Jameis's bread and butter is going deep. And Michael Thomas is not a deep ball receiver. That's the tough part. I think I'd bump Michael Thomas a little more than that. I think I'd probably drop him. I think I'd probably rather have McLaurin.
Yeah.
He's right there with Calvin Ridley for me. I think I'd lean ever so slightly with Thomas just because he's still a PPR machine.
So we think. If they have Taysom Hill in there, they're going to throw 30, 40 times a game.
How did he do with Taysom Hill? Let me look up those stats because I know Hill gets a lot of crap, and we definitely talked about it with Alvin Kamara, but Alvin Kamara played decently well when it was with
Alvin Kamara was just his ceiling got moved down with Taysom Hill to just great instead of spectacular. I'll just hit Amari Cooper real quick while you're looking that up. Cooper is just consistently good. You got him and CeeDee Lamb there. They can both finish this easily top 24 because they're throwing the ball close to 600 times on a yearly basis. And that offense is going to need to score points with that defense because they still not putting it together. If they both finish top 12, I wouldn't be surprised.
I think we've reached the point with Dallas where even a very strong draft class is not going to fix that defense all the way. Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb, Michael Gallup, fire them up. They're going to be throwing a lot.
Yeah, Michael Gallup's way down there. He's been getting really tore up lately, and I'm not there for it. But, yeah, they're going to have to score points, and it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. I feel like we forget how good Cooper is because of way people viewed him early on his career. He's a damn good. He's a good receiver, man.
Oh yeah.
And you know what you're going to get. How do you feel DJ Moore at 9? He's so overlooked to me. I feel like I'm very strongly opinion on him constantly.
Well, I don't know if we could. I don't know if we could talk about DJ Moore yet because we don't really know who's going to be throwing him the ball right now. I'm willing to bet it might not be Teddy Bridgewater. So
good. I hope it's not Teddy Bridgewater.
I agree.
If somehow Justin Fields snuck down there, it'd be crazy.
How high does DJ Moore get a bump if he goes with Justin Fields? Because I don't know how you move him past those first eight.
I think I'd move the tier down one spot. I'd move him because top eight is solid.
Yeah.
But he's also back-to-back 1,100-yard seasons. He's performed well. He worked as an underneath receiver, and he worked as a big player receiver this year. He showed both aspects of the game just not the same season. I want to put it together.
I agree. I just as long as Teddy's there, it's tough. It's very tough.
I think that hurts the touchdown. His touchdown's all we're missing.
But he hasn't been getting touchdowns with anyone. That's the problem.
Teddy's the apex of quarterbacks.
Apex of quarterbacks.
Of his quarterbacks.
That's sad. That's sad.
Could be worse. It could be Allen Robinson, who Andy Dalton's now the best quarterback he's ever had.
We're slowly moving up with Allen Robinson in the quarterback hierarchy. But, that's also sad.
I think by the time he's 40, he's going to have 60-year-old Tom Brady.
That would be the best thing he's ever had.
Yeah. I mean, he's quarterback-proof.
Yeah.
I think there's a decent drop I guess there's a couple guys close, but he's quarterback-proof. He's safe. He can have big games. That offense looks like it wants to improve. But the ball's going to go to him. I love Robinson. I may draft him under some guys in the next tier who are younger if I'm building a team differently, but he's still really solid.
Oh, yeah. You don't draft Allen Robinson and then feel bad about it. That's how you put it.
No, you really don't.
I have a question here. This is interesting to me. You have Godwin at 14, and I'm going to give a spoiler alert. You have Mike Evans at 17. So you're more of a Godwin guy, huh?
I'm not, actually. I'm more of an Evans guy, but
so explain.
God,
I said explain.
So as the Bucks are right now, in say we were doing a redraft league, I'd take Mike Evans above him. His touchdown upside's great. He's not relying on a ton of targets, which makes me feel about okay, but he's also 27. He'll be 28 coming up here soon. I know there's some other receivers who are the same age there, but Godwin's still young. Didn't he just sign a 1-year deal?
Yeah, Godwin's on the franchise tag.
Yeah, he's on the franchise. Yeah, he signed the franchise tag. He could go somewhere, easily become number one, become a target monster. He could have Tom Brady retire after this year, and all this money they miraculously made disband, and have to have quarterback forcing the ball, which I like for Godwin in the future. I think his role and his upside with his age is the difference. And I love Mike Evans. I think Mike Evans is a better receiver. But future outlook, I'm leaning towards Godwin.
It really is contingent on what Brady does for me.
It's contingent on Brady.
If Brady is there for this year and then retires, like you said, then I feel better about Godwin. If Brady's there past this year, I feel better about Evans. So I think Evans is a shoo-in for 10 touchdowns with Brady.
Yeah, I mean, he's 8 to 10 touchdowns, I think, unless that offense goes completely haywire.
It won't.
I'm talking post Brady.
Okay.
Also hoping that Antonio Brown doesn't sign back.
I think it's interesting because they've re-signed literally everyone. He's the last piece now. Do they even have the money to give him? Like, what's the deal there? We'll see how much he wants to play with Brady because now it's interesting.
And if Brown goes back, I think that flips those two for me. Like, there's a lot of moving pieces of that offense.
Yeah.
Almost makes me want to put Keenan Allen and Allen Robinson over him because Keenan Allen's just the safest player you can get.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Keenan's a as long as Keenan and Herbert are upright for 16, I think Keenan's a shoo-in for 100 receptions.
Oh, easily.
Yeah.
And I think Keenan Robinson's probably going to come close to that too.
If Brown goes back, it throws the whole damn thing out of whack.
If Brown goes back, that whole I don't know what to do with that offense.
You draft Brady and then leave it alone. Take Gronk later if you need it. But other than that, like.
But I think right now Godwin's a value in fantasy. Because that value could his situation could change as quick as anybody in the league, and he is 24.
He's 24. Yeah, I was about to say 24 or 25. If Brown goes back, I'd rather have Godwin because I honestly – for this year I'd rather have Evans, but going forward for dynasty purposes, I'd rather have Godwin because even if Brown goes back, I don't think Godwin's going to be there next year. I think this is a one-and-done for Godwin. As much as they're going to want to pay him, I think Godwin will hit the market next year.
And you don't want a franchise tag receiver twice.
You really don't.
You're taking all your money.
It always can happen as long as Tom's there, but I mean, it's then they're going to be walking the tightrope by that point. So
yeah, unless we get a major cap change.
Yeah,
I felt really gross having Calvin Ridley here, not Julio Jones. Obviously, it would make sense and it's right, but it feels gross.
Yeah,
I hate seeing Julio not as my top receiver in Atlanta.
See, I want to envision Julio having the type of end to his career, the same that like Larry Fitzgerald did, where
24 years.
Yeah, he just shows up. He's always there, always consistent. You know what you'll get from him, and it's good. The problem is Julio's just had more injuries in his career.
Yeah,
and they started to rear its ugly head last year. I don't think it's going to be a nice ending for Julio. Unfortunately, we've been waiting for this because me and Matt have been making fun of people for this for the past 2 years where they're like, really? Julio hits 30 and everyone's just dropping him off a cliff. We're starting to get to the point where, yeah, he is. It's going to be time to start dropping him a little bit. So I would see him as a value right now. But, yeah, where you got him, it does hurt. It's painful.
It does. It feels wrong. The other guy we haven't mentioned is Terry McLaurin. And I'm looking at this now, and I kind of want to move him up two spots above Michael Thomas and Calvin Ridley.
I'd be all right with
that. The Ryan Fitzmagic thing going there. They're another team who could get a quarterback. He's good, and he's not going to see the same kind of defensive attention now with the improvements on offense. I think I still think he's just a star. And I don't know if he's a better receiver than Calvin Ridley, but he might be a better fantasy receiver than him. Because that makes sense, but he's really good right now.
I don't think you can go wrong with Terry McLaurin. Just throw him in there, and it works.
I think I'd draft him over anybody on this list other than DJ Moore. That's still waiting for quarterback situation before I can fully say that confidently.
Yeah, I'll reserve what I'll say about that until I see who's throwing the ball to DJ Moore. But yeah, I'd agree with that. I would take McLaurin over everyone else.
Yeah. This tier could probably stay a little consistent. Couple guys you mentioned, like Evans, could easily get there. T. Higgins is borderline going to hit that list for me. Like, there's a lot can change, but I don't know if any of them who I can see moving up to tier one out of them. Is there anyone you think could?
I think it's interesting that you brought up T. Higgins, because I think we're going to learn a lot about what T. Higgins is going to be this year.
I have been 18, and I think the world of him is a receiver right now. I think he's really good in that situation.
I think fantasy Twitter loves him and deservedly so, but how much does Cincinnati love him with these reports coming out saying that Burrow wants to be reunited with Chase? We'll see what Cincinnati does there.
I want to see like the interview on that actual whole interview, not just the quote. Because it could be one of those, they're like, what about playing with your old teammate again?
Yeah.
He's like, it'd be really awesome to play with Jamar Chase again.
And it's like, what else do you expect him to say?
They just cut that out without the question. I can see that being that thing. I don't know for sure, but.
No, that sounds about right.
He should say protect my knees and draft me a lineman.
That's the easy pick, but nothing's ever easy with Cincinnati, I guess. So
no, but if they don't take a first round receiver, T. Higgins is kind of locked in that spot as their number one, and that moves him up drastically for me.
Like I said, we'll know. Well, this year, I know. I always want to be patient with young receivers. We'll know just how good T. Higgins is after this year. He'll either be pushing for tier one here, or he'll be dropping.
We got a real nice sample of it, and he looked really good. But yeah, I'm excited to see what happens with him.
Absolutely, absolutely. He's one to pay attention to.
Perfect. Any other guys stand out? You wanted to mention? We didn't mention enough for you.
Yeah, I think we're good. Ridley. Since we didn't talk about him too much, Ridley's about as safe as it gets right now with Matt Ryan locked in there for 2 years. Like, I think you know what you're getting from Calvin Ridley the next 2 years, so that's nice. But
Ridley's a very safe play.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he may not have – I don't know if he has the upside of some of those guys on a game-to-game basis, but he is safe as can be.
Like, he's a wide receiver, too, that can push for wide receiver one territory.
Yeah.
Safe.
I mean, I have his wide receiver one, but I think you're right. He's easy wide receiver two. I could see him having Keenan Allen type production the rest of his career.
I would sign up for that if I was a Calvin Ridley owner.
I would sign up for that. I mean, the situation's kind of similar where they have a quarterback who wants to get the ball to a guy underneath, they run the same kind of routes. It's a lot similar to that game with little age of quarterbacks. I think it'd be good for him.
One last thought here, since I'm going to circle back around to the Michael Thomas thing. So Breeze went down in the San Francisco game.
Okay.
And then Thomas, the next four games playing with Taysom Hill, 12 targets, 9 receptions, 104 yards, 6 targets, 4 receptions, 50 yards.
Okay.
11 targets, 9 receptions, 105 yards. 8 targets, 8 receptions, 84 yards. So it's not – that actually points to, like, if you're a Michael Thomas owner, all of a sudden I think you kind of want Taysom Hill there instead of Jameis Winston.
That makes me want to send out some low-ball offers tonight for Michael Thomas.
I think you should. I think you should. I think people are panicky right now on Michael Thomas.
They really are. So, yeah, and having the 10 is not bad. If you trade for Michael Thomas and you get wide receiver 10 value, I'd be ecstatic.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I'm definitely going to do that tonight. Awesome. So, everybody, thanks for listening to the Dynasty Draft Room presented by the Sports Illustrated NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network. And remember, enjoyed the episode. Please subscribe and leave us a 5-star review and come talk to us on our Discord channel. And we'll catch y'all next week.
Later, taters.